If you've got an Amazon Echo or a Google Home, then you've got the Lisa Wexler Show. Now on WICC 600.
Andrew, do we have Migs Burrows on yet? Let me know. Let me know when he joins us. 203-333-9422. I just want to... I'm sorry. Andrew, is that right? Is Migs here? Okay. Hi. Migs Burrows joins us now on the Lisa Wexler Show. Migs Burrows is a truly renaissance kind of an artist. And if you are somebody who appreciates the sights and sounds, particularly of my own hometown, Westport, Connecticut, many of them have been created personally by Migs Burrows or with his collaboration or encouragement. He joins us now to talk about a specific effort that is going on with a showing of the movie The Graduate, which everybody is welcome to attend, and how that came to be. Migs, hello and welcome to the Lisa Wexler Show. Can it be your first time on my show? Is that possible? I don't know. That's possible.
Yeah. Thank you, Lisa. No, it is, strangely. I mean, because we've known each other for so long in different arenas, but thank you.
Yeah, I'm so happy that you're on. So I was taken this morning, 06880 is a fabulous blog that is written by Dan Woog, and how he gets his stories every day, it's amazing to me. And I want you to tell the story of how it came to be that a couple of letters were on this blog this morning, one of whom was authored by the assistant to Mike Nichols, the extraordinary director. Tell us what happened, your journey towards possibly becoming Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, first, let me just get the plug out of the way. Is that the Remarkable Theater, which is the outdoor theater, which benefits people with developmental disabilities, is showing The Graduate Monday, August 30th. And you can get tickets at remarkabletheater.org. And it's a great venue. It's outdoors. It's a lot of fun. So The Graduate, yeah, they're showing The Graduate. So it triggered a memory that I had, and I didn't even remember that I had these letters. It was amazing when I sort of went through the scrapbooks. So I was at Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh as a drama major. I was in my senior year, and a notice was posted, or somebody sent it to me, that they were looking for, you know, such and such, they described a kind of person that they wanted for this movie, this new movie. Nobody had ever heard about it, The Graduate, and to be directed by Mike Nichols. So I sent in, my roommate at the time was making what he called personality T-shirts. It had never been done before in the country or world until the Che Guevara T-shirt came out like a year later. But he started, and he used my face as the prototype T-shirt. Anyway, I sent in the T-shirt as sort of a joke, and my little short resume being a drama student at Carnegie. And I got a letter back, which was also included in the blog, scheduling me for this audition in New York. And so I came from the casting director. And so I came to New York and had this little meeting. It wasn't an audition, like a theatrical audition. I just sort of read with the casting director back and forth, you know, as Benjamin, what would you do? What would you say if I did this? What would you know, just kind of feel me out. And I guess see if I looked right, sounded right. And then a month later, I get the rejection notice from I get a letter in the mail with Paramount Pictures on the return address. And I was like, my heart, you know, jumped out of my chest.
Right.
And
right.
Of course, it was the very gentle, polite rejection letter saying, Mr. Nichols has already made a commitment for the part of Benjamin.
It was so very sweet. It was very sweet. And you know what? So, I mean, first of all, you saved the letters. Do you save all of your correspondence, Mix?
No. I mean, I do currently save some notes if I get sweet notes from people or for whatever reason. But no, I guess when I was in college, I was, you know, I guess I saved it. I thought it was important, but I hadn't remembered when The Graduate, you know, I hadn't seen it. I mean, I probably saw it six times when it came out, but
sure.
Fantasizing, you know, but no, I just went through a bunch of old stuff and scrapbooks, and I guess I had kept a scrapbook in it during college, you know, pictures of me and doing silly things and pictures of my classmates. And yeah, there I found these letters. I couldn't believe it.
It's so wonderful. We're chatting with Migs Burrows. Isn't it wonderful to see the time that people spent writing on a typewriter, signing something with a name, putting it in an envelope, putting a stamp on it, making sure that they were classy enough to get back to you. It's quite wonderful in its own way.
It really was. And I, you know, had the letters, I glued them to a page in the scrapbook, so I didn't want to tear them out. But I could tell the letter from Paramount was on Strathmore paper, you know, really fine stationery. I mean, in those days, people really, like you said, people really cared about correspondence. It really was something that to take the time, whether they put the piece of paper in, first of all, choosing the right stationery, you know, it wasn't just a scrap of paper. I don't know. The whole thing was very elegant and interesting of another time.
And what year was that?
1967. I was a senior, so I would have graduated that June. So I got the letter to making the appointment for the audition in January, and then I received the rejection letter a month later in February of 1967, and I graduated in June of 67. And
so, Migs, yeah, I wanted to ask you, because the career that I know from you, and of course I only know your career based on maybe the last 20 years or so in Westport, is notably as an artist, a graphic artist, an illustrator, an artist altogether, a fine artist. I didn't know that you ever had any aspirations to be an actor. Was that another part of your career?
Yeah, it didn't go very far. I was in drama department at Carnegie, which is very prestigious. Yale and Northwestern and Carnegie were the three top drama schools in the country. And yeah, I did have I interned at the Westport Playhouse when I was in high school. I think in my senior year at high school. And so I didn't act really. I was kind of a stagehand, I guess, but I was kind of on the sidelines. And that got me interested in pursuing theater, because a lot of my classmates went on to be in theater, and some succeeded pretty well. And so then I went to Carnegie, and I did study acting and stage movement, pantomime, and you get the full course, you know. But then I ended up, when I didn't have very much success, I realized I wasn't cut out to be an actor. I mean, you learn pretty quickly that you're not. So I pivoted to other theater stagecraft and paint, which involved painting sets. And that's probably the beginning of my evolution as an artist, you know, I'm more of a traditional visual artist.
Are you, did I read this correctly? I don't want to misstate it. It's not right in front of me, that you also did some covers of Time Magazine. Is that right?
Yeah. So Dan Wogue was kind of, it was kind of a nice twist on the thing of, okay, I didn't get the graduate, but had I gotten the graduate, I never would have designed covers for Time Magazine. So I don't know which is better. But so right after college, soon after college, well, a few years, I ended up, it's a long story, so I won't go into it, but it was another fluky thing where my very first paid assignment as an artist, the very first time I ever received money for my art, was doing a cover for Time Magazine. I mean, most people work their whole careers to get there, and I felt very guilty for having jumped ahead of the line. But so I did four covers for Time Magazine, and I did a U.S. postage stamp after that. And at the time, I was the youngest person to have done either one, but that record has long been broken by other people. But
what was your stamp? We're chatting with Migs Burrows. What kind of stamp did you do for the U.S. Postal Service?
It was an 8-cent. It's still, apparently a friend of mine ordered some online. They're not very expensive, I'm sorry to say. You can get them for almost the price. It's an 8-cent commemorative postage stamp. Prevent drug abuse was the theme. They thought the drug abuse was running rampant in the country. And believe it or not, the statistics they used was, this is so crazy, that in America, there are over 100,000 people addicted to illegal drugs. 100,000. Mm-hmm. That was their best guess of what that could have been, you know, one community in the USA today. But anyway, so that they thought it was time to put out a mess. So they wanted a young person to design the stamp to hopefully relate to, so young people would relate to the message. But, you know, the idea that a drug addict would get their information or inspiration from a postage stamp, it seems pretty silly, but I was happy to have the assignment.
Is it, I'm looking at it online, Mix Burrows. Is it the image of a long-haired girl sitting down on the ground, holding her knees in her arms, and you don't see a face? So how did that image, as an artist, how did that come to you? Was that from a photograph? Was that just something in your mind? How did that come to you?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. There's another backstory to that, too, because I was banned from ever doing a stamp again because apparently a commemorative postage stamp, anybody pictured on a commemorative postage stamp, has to have been deceased for at least 10 years, you know, because you're commemorating somebody like, you know, a president or an emperor or whatever it is, or a famous actor. Anyway, I used my then girlfriend, who became my wife later, but she was my girlfriend at the time, as my model. And it was just to show despair, to answer your question. I was doing these high contrast light and shadow paintings, and Stephen DeHanos, the famed illustrator who lived in Westport, kind of picked me to do this because he had seen my paintings, which were all these, again, light and shade, and he thought that kind of depicted the darkness of drug abuse. And I think we had discussions, and I won't take full credit for the pose. I think Steve and DeHanos and I worked it out, and he may have suggested showing a woman in despair as somehow, and that's what I came up with, you know, visually. And then in a newspaper, in a stamp magazine, I gave an interview, and I said, well, and they said, who's the model? And I said, oh, it's my girlfriend, Mimi Orkin at the time. Well, the government found out and said, how dare you? You violated the sacred thing. Nobody, no living person is ever to appear on a commemorative postage stamp. Nobody ever told me that. I didn't break any rules I was aware of. And they said, it's like that thing, you'll never work in this town again. They said, you'll never design another postage stamp as long as you live.
I think if as a stamp collector, to me, that would make the stamp more valuable. It has a story behind it.
I would think so. I have some first day covers, they're called, which is envelopes that were postmarked on the day of issue that she's no longer my wife, but she and I both autographed. Okay. So if there's any stamp collectors out there, you've got an illegal stamp model and the designer autograph. But if I may briefly, back to the Remarkable Theater and the Graduate.
Yes, please, because we have to wrap up. I could talk to you forever. Well, let's make sure people know.
Several movie nights that the Remarkable has been kind enough to let the Artist Collective of Westport sponsor. So it's a collective movie night, and we just encourage our artist members to come see it. And there's a couple of little short trailers from the Artist Collective that are going to be shown. And it's also co-sponsored or underwritten by the Drew Friedman Community Arts Center, which, full disclosure, I'm one of the directors along with Nick Visconti and his sister Louise. So,
and full disclosure, I know a little bit about it, having been the probate judge on the matter. Full disclosure.
I think you do a little bit.
Yeah.
It's a community effort, and the Remarkable does an amazing job. You know, I guess they're working towards having a brick and mortar theater someday. But this outdoor venue is fantastic. And
I love the outdoor venue. So what is the website for people to get tickets, Mix?
Sure. It's remarkabletheater.org. And you just go there and there'll be you scroll down and there's movies several nights a week, I think. But the Graduate is next Monday. Is it next Monday? Yeah. Next Monday, August 30th. And it starts the doors, so-called, there's no doors, but the venue opens at 6:30 and the movie begins at 7:30. And there's a lot
you
of...
You should get great- Dustin Hoffman to come. You should get him to come.
Yeah.
You should. Or maybe Diane Sawyer would come, you know, the widow of Mike Nichols. You know, people that know people.
Yeah, well, kind of a weird, other weird coincidence is Dustin Hoffman's co-star in the movie was an actress named Catherine Ross. And one of our artist collective members is a fine artist named Catherine Ross and a good friend of mine. So,
all right. So, we can have Catherine Ross there. Not the same Catherine Ross, but we can have Catherine Ross.
Another friend of mine has a red Alfa Romeo, so maybe we'll all show up like that.
Maybe you will. Mix Burrows, thanks so much for coming on the show. August 30th, The Graduate. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Lisa.
Pleasure. Thanks. We'll be back tomorrow behind the mic. And stay tuned for Dave Ramsey here on WICC from 12 to 2. And Paul Pacelli, Connecticut Today from 2 to 6.
And maybe we'll find if we